Can you hear that? Do you want me to move it? Once I get comfortable. All right, I'm just thinking about getting started. Give me a second. All right, so I'm gonna be up here tonight and probably a couple nights, maybe three, I don't know, maybe four. It just depends on how long this is gonna be take, or this will take. Because sort of when you start studying something, whoops, you know, you open it up and it's a whole can of worms, like, so much can be there that, you know, you could talk about it for a long time, like a couple services worth. So, I've been doing a study on Absalom. And if you're not aware of who Absalom is, I might as well just get to the punchline now so that you can kind of put that into perspective a little bit as to who this is. So Absalom, he tries to take over as being king. He thinks that he's going to overrule David, King David, and it's definitely something that's a self-appointment for him. And he uses all sorts of devious devices like being friendly or appearing super spiritual, or he uses flattery to come to this means that of self-appointment. And ultimately, Absalom is undermining David's authority. Like, that's the ultimate of it. Thank you for the next line, Dad. But that's what I was getting. No, it's fine. I'm just going to put this out here just in case. I mean, you know that spirits are real. They are very real. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, but that is not the only spirit in the land. I mean, the Bible tells us to try the spirits, okay? So Absalom is more than just a person that was in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Samuel, and we're going to go right there. We're going to go there today. But he's more than that. He's a spirit, and this spirit is alive in this day and age. And that is, it's a spirit that ultimately undermines authority. Like, it uses all sorts of devices, friendliness, flattery, appearing super spiritual. Ultimately, though, it undermines authority. So the reason I'm talking about this is because we need to be aware to guard ourselves spiritually, to make ourselves strong against this spirit. Not only when we see the spirit in other people, but to recognize the signs if it ever is festering within yourself. So let's. Today we're going to start at the very beginning of Absalom's appearance in the Bible. So please turn to 2 Samuel 13, and we are going to work our way through. He's about from 13 to 18 ish, so five chapters. Maybe it'll be 5 weeks. I don't know. So story today. Let's go to, we're going to start there. So the story we're going to read today, there is every level of sin that you can possibly imagine crammed in one chapter. Lust, deceit, rape, murder, all of that, all in one chapter. Right. It does, doesn't it? Who is Absalom? I'd like to give us a little bit of perspective. I know I told you to go to 2 Samuel 13, but really we're going to go to 2 Samuel 3. I knew I was on 2 Samuel 3 in my Bible for a reason. This is really my first verse. Today I tried a new set of notes, which was essentially just an outline, not a script like I usually do. So we'll see how it goes. So 2 Samuel 3, verse 3, this is showing David's lineage. And if you haven't spent time in the Old Testament, I can't say it enough that you should go back and read it. I know that I've spent the majority of my own time studying the Bible, the New Testament, and going back and reading the stories and even the genealogies just is so revealing of foundational things that you need to do it. Regardless, we're on 3:3. I'm sorry, 3:2. And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinom, the Jezreelitess, and his second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. So Absalom is actually David's son. It's his third son. And as we know, David is God's beloved. He has a heart after God. And it's interesting that when you look into his first three sons' names, that you see a man of God in how they're named. Amnon means faithful. Chileab means like his father. And Absalom means my father is peace or father of peace. Now, as we read, you'll realize the irony in all of their names and the meanings of all of their names. So Absalom is a prince. He's a prince. He is the king's son. He is a potential heir. He was born with the possibility of one day reigning. Possibility. He had that opportunity, the potential there. Go for it. Do you want the microphone? Mm-hmm. No.
All firstborn. That's why what you're saying is it gives them the opportunity to have a possibility.
Okay, so we're in chapter 13. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, am I ringing like every time I talk? And he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? So we have here Amnon, his falling in love with his half-sister here. And to the point that he's sick, that he wants her so much, that he's sick, and his... it says his friend here, but really that's his cousin. Also, within this family, his name means Jehovah is willing. Also some irony there for what he's about to do. But he it says he's a subtle man. And when the Bible says subtle here, it's saying he's very aware and very astute. He understands things. So he could perceive that that Amnon was lusting after his half-sister here. And he says, why art thou being the king's son? Like that had some sort of weight behind it, like, oh, you're the king's son. Why are you even upset about this? I mean, you could have whatever it is you want. You could have your sister if you wanted her. And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, and say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Jonadab here is telling Amnon to make this plan to essentially fool his father into allowing his sister to come and, yeah, manipulate his father. And he says it almost in a way that he knows that this is going to work. He knows it's going to work because now this is pure speculation on my part, but that some pattern in the past that may have said that David would be a little soft on his children. And so his nephew even knew it and said, oh, this is what you have to do. You can do this and it'll work, and you know what? And dad will do whatever it is that you want. Yeah. And Amnon's like, yeah, you know what? He will. I'm a king's son. I'm the firstborn. So Amnon goes through with it. It says, so Amnon lay down, made himself sick, and when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So David took the bait. Tamar's off to go help her brother out. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour, kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all the men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thy hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her, and said unto her, come, lie with me, my sister. And she said, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? As for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold him from me. Her even saying that right at the end about that, go ask dad. He'll give me to you. You don't have to do this. That's essentially what she's saying to him at this point. So that only reinforces the idea that David has been soft on his children at some point and will give them what they want. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. So quick, too. He loved her so passionately, and once. Right. Right? Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise and be gone. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. but he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out for me, and bolt the door after her. Sorry, I need some water. So, Amnon has now not only raped his sister, but he has kicked her out. Whereas, if you know anything about the law, that in that situation, potentially, if they got married, then it would have been fine. But he kicked her out because, well, he hated her more after he did it. And the thing I am so upset about when you read something like that is the fact that these were king's kids. They were born with godly names. They were born with godly names. They were born with opportunity, and this is what they did with it. Because they thought that, you know what, manipulation and satisfying the flesh was more important. And this is why you have to be so spiritually aware. You have to be aware of, I'm sure Amnon, when he was 15 years old or 10 years old, playing with his half-sister Tamar, you know, out in the field, never thought one day that he would do that. But this is why Dad tells us that God doesn't have any grandchildren. He doesn't have grandchildren. We have to make the choices for ourselves that we're going to grow up spiritually to guard ourselves away from these spirits. And the things that, you know, possess you to do things that are not of God. So these are all children of the Beloved, but yet this horrific crime still happened. Okay, we're on verse 19. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her. And the garment that she was wearing, this was the garment for princesses that they wore. Essentially, it was down, completely covering their arms and their legs. It showed that they were virgins. So she immediately rips her garment. She puts ashes on her head. She laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And the way that laid is like completely distraught, like, I feel so worthless, completely worthless after this has happened. And now this is where Absalom enters. And yeah.
Mm-mm.
No, she knew. She was. And so this is where Absalom enters, and he says, and Absalom, her brother, said unto her, and Absalom is Tamar's full sister, or full brother and sister here, same mother, same father here. Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? Behold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. So he turns to his sister and he says, forget about it. Don't take this seriously. Don't faint heart. And it's funny when you, I mean, she's so willing, like you were saying, to just completely expose herself and show what has happened. And he says, forget about it, put it in the closet, ignore it. But it's more than that. It's more than that. If you get to the root of the words of what Absalom is saying, it's deeper than that. If you go to what this word peace means, now it's not shalom, what you would think of peace. This peace is the word cherish. And it means to be silent, keep quiet, to cut in, engrave, devise, to plot evil. So when he's telling her to be quiet, he's really saying, I've got a plan. Be quiet, because in time, I've got a plan. I'm going to do something to make this right. Regard not this thing. Regard means to put, to set, to lay aside, to appoint, to fix, to set the mind to, the inner man, the mind, the will, the heart, the understanding, the emotions. So this is an emotional thing that he's doing right here, that this plot or, the soul. The soul is making this evil plot. And talking peace, that's right. The words that are coming out of his mouth are peace, but that's not really what the root of it is. Because if we know, and I didn't say this, but the title that I've put on this is Seeds of the Absalom Spirit, because this is really where the seed of it is planted, of Absalom's spirit is planted in this event right here. This event of Tamar's rape is really his offense that he takes against his family is happening right here, because this is where he switches into the mode of, you know what, I've got a plan to take care of business. And disguising it with a face that says peace. Verse 21. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. Now, when I read that, David heard all of these things. He heard everything about it. He heard of Amnon raping his sister. He heard that Tamar was feeling worthless, but she was choosing to keep silent. And he heard of Absalom telling her to hold her peace, or because he had a plan. David knew all of it. He knew all of it. He knew Absalom's intent. But he did nothing. He did not do one thing. He was angry. I mean, the word wroth means hot, furious, burn, become angry, be kindled, heat within oneself in vexation. But he smoldered. He was angry about what happened. He was angry that his children were fighting. He was angry that his son would do that to his daughter. But he didn't do anything about it. Didn't do one thing. He just let that anger be wroth. I mean, that's more than just saying he was angry. He was wroth. It is the idea of it smoldering inside. And here comes Absalom, speaking peace once again. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. So he didn't go to his brother and yell in his face and say, oh, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe that you do that to our sister. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't speak good to him. He doesn't speak bad to him. He just leaves it like hush under the rug. Yeah. It didn't exist. It didn't happen. Because he knows that in the back of his mind that he's plotting evil. He's using deceit. He's being a deceiving spirit. Because even though he didn't say anything, for Absalom hated, and that word hated is like as an enemy. Amnon. So Amnon was his enemy at this point because he had forced his sister Tamar. Oh, I missed a part. So, back a little bit. Why did David do nothing? That was the question that I asked. I was like, wait, God, why didn't David do anything? Familiarity. It's his family. Turn to Psalm 41:9. Psalm 41:9. 41:9. Are you there?
Yes.
Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. So these are David's children. They are his, he loves them. He does, he loves them. He has trust in them that everything's going to work out. So he doesn't do anything. But this verse right here shows the warning. Which did eat of my bread, they ate together, hath lifted up his heel against me. Let's go to Matthew 10. Starting at verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is yet again another warning about familiarity. We can't let the people around us be the ones that hold you back. You can't. We're to lift each other up, for one thing. But, I mean, the Bible even says here that a man's foe shall be of his own household, and that's exactly what was happening to David here. And this fatal flaw, because that's not what that word means, but this flaw here of allowing his children to just be and not actually disciplining and putting correction there ends up really coming back to get him. All right, let's go back to 2 Samuel. One second, I need a tissue. Yeah, they're in there. What? Oh, sorry. Okay. All right, so the next part here, it says, and it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal-Hazar, which is besides Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, behold now, thy servant hath sheep shearers. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. So this is 2 years later. 2 years. 2 years of letting things be quiet, not saying anything good nor bad. 2 years later have passed, and the number two can represent division or separation or disunity. So it's a perfect time. Perfect time for some division and separation and disunity to happen in the family. So Absalom is coming to his father. He's having a party. They're going to go and shear a bunch of sheep. And he says, sorry, I lost my place. Thy servant. He calls himself a servant here. Yep. He calls himself a servant. He's showing here some false humility. He's using manipulation at this point to say, oh, Father, your servant is here. Your servant has a request. Oh, think of lowly me. It's almost as saying that I'm lower than my birthright. Because remember, he's a son. But he's coming in with these words that make it sound like he's willing to do whatever or be the, essentially like the lowest form there in the house. He also refers to his brothers as servants as well, because the way I read it is, well, almost like his pride could not allow him to be the only one. He had to bring them all down with him, refer to them all as servants. And he may have even believed that he was a servant. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So Absalom may have even believed in his heart that he was only at the state of a servant, but the next verse is where it turns. And the king said to Absalom, nay, no, my son. So Absalom calls himself a servant, but David sees through it. The father sees through it, and he calls him his, puts him in his rightful place. No, my son. He calls him out on it. He's giving him an out because he knows what Absalom's plot is. He does. He knows because he's the father. And he's giving him the opportunity to say, turn and change right now. Because as we know, David heard all of the plot. He knew everything that had happened. This reminds me of the prodigal son, who he wanted to be the. If you don't know the story of the prodigal son, he gets his fortune from his father. He goes out, he wastes it all. He ends up, you know, living with the swine and eating the corn husks and whatever else in the dirt. And then he looks around and he says, "You know what? The servants in my dad's house are living better than me right now. I wonder if I go back home, if I just say to him, Dad, I'd rather just be a servant than going and living in the street." And the second he walks in, his dad, you know, throws his arms around him and gives him a party and says he elevates him back to where he needs to be, because that's what the father does. That's right. So this moment of David providing the correction and saying, no, you're not my servant, you are my son, he's giving Absalom the opportunity right now to change his mind, to change the plot, change that evil device that he had put in his mind 2 years prior. Let me continue. Nay, my son, let us not all go now, lest we be chargeable unto thee. So David is saying, no, we're not all going to go, because that would be too much of a burden on you. And he pressed him. Howbeit, he would not go, but he blessed him. So Absalom presses. He begs, Daddy, please, let everybody go. I want everybody to be at my party. That's what he's saying here. And that word pressed means to break through, down, over, burst, breach. But David doesn't relent. He blesses him. And so Absalom's like, great, what am I going to do? I begged him. He's saying no still. So then he comes up with this. Then Absalom says, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, why should he go with thee? Because remember, David knows the plot. But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon go and all the king's son go with him. So Absalom keeps pressing, finally David breaks first breaches and says, okay, I see what you're going to do. Go and do it. And even that word go, if you look at this word go in verse 27, is a different word go that has been the other goes that have been previously. This one is like a sent by force. So David not only gave them permission to go to up to Belhazzar, he actually told all of his sons, you all have to go. Now, Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him, fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. So, finally, we see what Absalom has been burning in his heart for 2 years. We see that he is going to get his brother drunk and have the servants come in and kill him. Right, right.
Some folks would say, no, David would have stopped it. But most folks ought to understand there's a lot of times they see things and they just turn the other way.
Yep. Right.
And David didn't want to be bothered.
Right. He didn't want to be bothered with it. Nope. I mean, he knew.
There are people who believe that David would have stopped it. Listen, God never stopped Adam.
Right.
I'm here to tell you this. This is a true fact. People are weak. They have good ideas, but the reality is when push comes to shove, they have no guts, I'll use the word.
Mm-hmm. Right. To do it. To do it. In his mind. No. Now, Absalom's signal to his servants is, when I say, so... that word say means to say, speak, boast, act proudly. Absalom is not only going to murder his brother, he is going to be proud about it. He wants everybody to know that I did it. He has this idea that it's going to bring, it's validate, exactly. That's the word I'm looking for, what he's doing. It says, when he says, smite Amnon. Now, that word smite means to strike, beat, hit, kill, slay, chastise, send judgment upon. So this is Absalom, bringing justice to his sister. He was offended 2 years prior when his brother did this thing. This is his point to say, you know what? Daddy didn't do anything, so I'm going to. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to correct it. This is him undermining David's authority. No. No.
For whatsoever a man sows,
so shall he reap.
He's not talking about a garden up in the backyard. Because the next line says, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to what?
Reap corruption. Yep.
So the spirit, you'll reap everlasting.
Blessing life. Yep.
I'm not thinking that this was sown to the spirit.
No. No. Absalom. Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine at all. She's just making it better. Absalom tells his servants, because it almost sounds like they may have been wary of what he's asking them to do. He tells them that they must be courageous and valiant. This is once again Absalom's spirit of flattery coming into play. Because this word valiant means there's actually a connotation of becoming a son, belonging, wealth, and strength. So Absalom is actually promising these servants, do this for me and I'm going to uplift you to the possession of, or to the position of sonship. He's saying, you know, come with me, do what I'm asking right now. You do it right now. You know, when I'm elected president, you can be part of my cabinet. That's what he's doing. He's using flattery. It's all flattery. Take a look at Psalms 55, 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. So it sounded like, on the surface, that Absalom once again was doing such a good thing, peace, plotting evil. Then justice, murder, right? Absalom is deceived in himself. He thinks that he's doing what's right. And that's what's so tricky about the Absalom spirit, is it is full of deceiving nature on all ends. Not only within deceiving others, but deceiving himself as well. And that's why that's really why we're talking about this. Identify it in others, but also, if you see any of these seeds within yourself, you need to take the out that David gives you. Okay, let's... Spirit. Nope. Yep. Okay, we're in verse 29. I'll move quick. I only have four more points. Okay. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat up him upon his mule and fled. So Amnon's killed, everybody else runs for the hills. And it came to pass that while they were on the way, that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. So David knew something was going down. He knew. He knew something was going down. He knew that if he heard something like that, that there must be some sort of truth in it. Or else he would not have reacted like that. You wouldn't react like that if you didn't think something.
Some people won't believe what she's saying. I'm going to tell you why. It's because we try to portray ourselves into David. We wouldn't do that. If you have to understand something in the mentality, you read it all through the Bible, but find this. Listen, one son will destroy every other potential heir
just so they can secure their kingdom. Yep. Yeah.
And we don't believe it because we try to inject ourselves into the character and no. Don't go there.
Right. Because, and David knew, that he wanted, yeah.
Would you kill your sister? You wouldn't do it, would you? But I guarantee you, if the spirit moved the right way, oh, that would never happen to
you. One that makes you seem important.
Like that.
super on verse. Yeah. Verse 32. Here's an interesting point here. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. So we're talking about the guy who was Amnon's buddy, who told him, you know, this is how you can rape your sister. Okay? He's the one who's aware of this. He says, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men by the king's sons, for Amnon is only dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. So he knew. He knew. I mean, this was not a secret that Absalom was upset. He may have been saying nothing good or saying nothing bad, but David knew. Jonadab knew. Right. He knew that this was coming down the line at some point. So he's wise enough to say, no, it's not all of them are dead, just Amnon, because that's where Absalom's offense has taken place, is with that event. Verse 33. Now, therefore, let not my lord the king take this thing to heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled. And the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, behold, the king's sons come. As thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. So, that's pretty self-explanatory right there. Verse 37. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. So Absalom, he does this. He knows that by law he can't take refuge in any of the cities because this wasn't an accidental murder. This was I killed you for the sake of, because of what you did. I was bringing justice. So he knew that he couldn't go and find refuge in another city. He has to go outside of the kingdom. So where does he run? Grandpa's house. That's his mother's father. Because, you know, he's a king's kid. He can't be in trouble for what he did. He was bringing justice. So that's where That's where Absalom runs off to after this, at this point in the story. And David mourned for his son every day. Now, it's unclear, and I dug to try to figure out who he mourned for. I'll get to that. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years, and the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. So, time passes, and David, once again, it's his weakness here of familiarity, of wanting his son, or having relationship with his son over this dealing with the spirit of Absalom. His soul is what longs for his son. And he's even comforted at the fact that Amnon's dead, because you know what? Amnon did do something terrible. He did. He did something absolutely terrible. He raped his sister. I mean, like that, right. So he's comforted in the fact that he is dead ultimately. And with that being said, David is wanting, he has a desire toward Absalom. That's where I'm going to stop there tonight, because we can get into that longing. That's the whole next chapter there that we'll get to. But I have just a few more things. Bear with me, just a few more things. But this is, all of this is being said tonight because we need to have discernment. We need to try the spirits and know where they're from God. And ones that are not, that we know that we can guard ourselves, we can be the watchmen to guard ourselves against them, to see them coming up ahead. Turn to Proverbs 23. Verse 23. Okay, we're going to start at 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. We have to do our part. It's not just going to come. We have to... You have to be diligent in your relationship with the Lord to be able to have discernment. It's not just going to be something that you wake up and like, oh yeah, now I hear God all the time. No. You have to... Against yourself. The father of righteousness shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. I mean, that verse right there just sends you over the moon. That you're like, if I do this, God is going to be so pleased with me. He's going to be so happy with me. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. That's all you can say. It's who doesn't want to please him? How could you not? I'm trying to decide if I'm going to wrap everything all up again. Because I have a summary, but then it... All right, I will. So the spirit of Absalom is a spirit that undermines authority. The moment that he killed Amnon, he undermined David's authority. And he said, if you're not going to do anything about this offense that happened to my sister, then I'm going to do it. This ruined his potential for heirship when he took matters into his own hands. The second that he decided, you know what, I'm not listening to the king anymore. I'm not doing what he's... I am going to do what I want to get my means to my end. He ruined his potential because he was a king's kid. He had the potential to be an heir. I mean, the second David's second son, Chileb, he's only mentioned twice in the Bible. He's only mentioned in the genealogies. He's not mentioned anywhere else. A lot of people even think that he must have died at an early age because he's not mentioned in any sort of story or anything like that. So really, Absalom wasn't that far off from getting to be king, really. But the second he decided that he was going to go and kill his brother, he ruined it. You can't just go and do whatever you want. Because, I don't know about you, but we worship a God of order. I mean... And it must be taken seriously. I mean, just ask Uzzah. If you don't know who Uzzah is, he was helping carry the cart with the ark on it that David had sent when they were trying to bring the ark back. And he went to stabilize it, and it fell. We know that was, you were not supposed to transport the ark in that way. And what did he do? He fell down dead right there. What's interesting is that there... that is mentioned. That story is mentioned twice in the Bible, both in 2 Samuel and also in Chronicles. So that was so important that to let God, God wanted us to know that order is so important that he mentioned it twice. He had a witness of this. I mean, Absalom's story is only mentioned once in the Old Testament. But this story of David trying to transport the ark on his own is mentioned twice. We know that when something happens twice, it is a witness. And this just says God has order. He has order. And Romans tells us that we shouldn't think more highly than we ought to. And Absalom was doing exactly that. He thought that I'm the king's kid. If daddy's not going to take care of it, I'm going to take care of it. And you know what? He took it into his own hands and he forfeited the legitimate path to being a king. So that's all I have for tonight. The next time I'm up here, we'll go to chapter 14. Yeah, we can do next Wednesday.
Well, praise the Lord. Now I want to preach. No, I want to listen. What's that? No. Praise God. Let's stand. Fantastic job. Let's give Becca a clap.